Hello everyone, Annette Nita here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Nita. Today we're on lesson 166. This is our idea for the day. I am entrusted with the gifts of God. All things are given you. God's trust in you is limitless. He knows his son. He gives without exception, holding nothing back that can contribute to your happiness. And yet, unless your will is one with his gifts are not received. But what would make you think there is another will than his?
Here is the paradox that underlies the making of the world. This world is not the will of God, and so it is not real. Yet those who think it real must still believe there is another will, and one which leads to opposite effects from those he wills. Impossible indeed, but every mind which looks upon the world and judges it as certain, solid, trustworthy, and true, believes in two creators, or in one, himself alone, but never in one God.
The gifts of God are not acceptable to anyone who holds such strange beliefs. He must believe that to accept God's gifts, however evident they may become, however urgently he may be called to claim them as his own, is to be pressed to treachery against himself. He must deny their presence, contradict the truth, and suffer to preserve the world he made.
Here is the only home he thinks he knows. Here is the only safety he believes that he can find. Without the world he made, is he an outcast, homeless and afraid? He does not realize that it is here he is afraid indeed and homeless too, an outcast wandering so far from home, so long away. He does not realize he has forgotten where he came from, where he goes, and even who he really is.
Yet in his lonely, senseless wanderings, God's gifts go with him, all unknown to him. He cannot lose them, but he will not look at what is given him. He wanders on, aware of the futility he sees about him everywhere, perceiving how his little lot but dwindles as he goes ahead to nowhere. Still he wanders on in misery and poverty, alone though God is with him, and a treasure his so great that everything the world contains is valueless before its magnitude.
He seems a sorry figure, weary, worn, in threadbare clothing, and with feet that bleed a little from the rocky road he walks. No one but has identified with him, for everyone who comes here has pursued the path he follows and has felt defeat and hopelessness as he is feeling them. Yet is he really tragic when you see that he is following the way he chose and need but realize who walks with him and open up his treasures to be free.
This is your chosen self, the one you made as replacement for reality. This is the self you savagely defend against all reason, every evidence, and all the witnesses with proof to show this is not you. You heed them not. You go on your appointed way with eyes cast down lest you might catch a glimpse of truth and be released from self-deception and set free.
You cower fearfully, lest you should feel Christ's touch upon your shoulder and perceive his gentle hand directing you to look upon your gifts. How could you then proclaim your poverty and exile? He would make you laugh at this perception of yourself. Where is self-pity then? And what becomes of all the tragedy you sought to make for him whom God intended only joy?
Your ancient fear has come upon you now, and justice has caught up with you at last. Christ's hand has touched your shoulder, and you feel that you are not alone. You even think the miserable self you thought was you may not be your identity. Perhaps God's word is truer than your own. Perhaps his gifts to you are real. Perhaps he has not wholly been outwitted by your plan to keep his son in deep oblivion and go the way you chose without your true self.
God's will does not oppose. It merely is. It is not God you have imprisoned in your plan to lose your true self. He does not know about a plan so alien to his will. There was a need he did not understand, to which he gave an answer. That is all. And you who have this answer given you have need no more of anything but this.
Now do we live, for now we cannot die. The wish for death is answered, and the sight that looked upon it now has been replaced by vision, which perceives that you are not what you pretend to be. One walks with you, who gently answers all your fears with this one merciful reply, "It is not so." He points to all the gifts you have each time the thought of poverty oppresses you, and speaks of his companionship when you perceive yourself as lonely and afraid.
Yet he reminds you still of one thing more you had forgotten, for his touch on you has made you like himself. The gifts you have are not for you alone. What he has come to offer you, you must learn to give. This is the lesson that his giving holds, for he has saved you from the solitude you sought to make in which to hide from God. He has reminded you of all the gifts that God has given you. He speaks as well of what becomes your will when you accept these gifts and recognize they are your own.
The gifts are yours, entrusted to your care, to give to all who chose the lonely road you have escaped. They do not understand, they but pursue their wishes. It is you who teach them now. For you have learned of Christ there is another way for them to walk. Teach them by showing them the happiness that comes to those who feel the touch of Christ and recognize God's gifts. Let sorrow not tempt you to be unfaithful to your trust.
Your sighs will now betray the hopes of those who look to you for their release. Your tears are theirs. If you are sick, you but withhold their healing. What you fear but teaches them their fears are justified. Your hand becomes the giver of Christ's touch. Your change of mind becomes the proof that who accepts God's gifts can never suffer anything. You are entrusted with the world's release from pain.
Betray it not. Become the living proof of what Christ's touch can offer everyone. God has entrusted all his gifts to you. Be witness in your happiness to how transformed the mind becomes, chooses to accept his gifts and feel the touch of Christ. Such is your mission now, for God entrusts the giving of his gifts to all who have received them. He has shared his joy with you, and now you go to share it with the world. Lesson 166, I am entrusted with the gifts of God.
And here we go with a kind of a bomb here in lesson 166. You may not think so in this, you know, on the surface, but if you're really looking, when we get to paragraph 2, sentence 2 in the CE, this world is not the will of God, and so it is not real. So this is a huge concept in A Course in Miracles. It is a huge stumbling block for new students of A Course in Miracles. And so we might as well just dive into it. So if you're new to A Course in Miracles, you'll get to understand what at least A Course in Miracles teaches. And if you're an older student of A Course in Miracles, you'll just, I think, by the time, like, so now I'm 7 years into it, I actually, when I read that sentence, I just go, it didn't feel real. Now, like, my feelings are being, like, confirmed. because I think I shared a few weeks ago, I don't know how many weeks ago it was now, but how I've just always felt a little like a stranger here in this life. And so this is kind of taking it a step further in my mind. That's how I read the Course. So this is what the Course says. Number one, in the first paragraph, it's like, God has given us everything. All things are given you. God's trust in you is limitless. He knows your son. He gives without exception, holding nothing back that can contribute to your happiness. And yet, unless your will is one with his gifts are not received. So unless we really remember who we truly are, it's impossible to receive all the gifts that God has for us because we're still in fear. And he's only come in, and I'm using the he, but God, love, divine, source, universe, doesn't matter the words, is only love. And so if I'm holding, those blocks to the awareness of love's presence, like in the introduction to the whole book, if I still am holding on to some of these blocks, I can't really step into the presence of love. So that's what the first paragraph is telling me, is that unless your will is one with his, unless I've let go of all those blocks to the awareness of love's presence, I really can't receive all that love has for me. Now, then he says that there's this paradox that underlies the making of the world. This world is not the will of God, and so it is not real. So what that means, and we've mentioned this a little bit, but just to really be clear in this lesson, is that in the text, how it explains it is that there was only love. And remember, we are so used to thinking in the physical. And so we've given an ego identity to God. We've given an ego identity to ourselves and everyone we know. And so when we think of God, we think of this ego identity that we've created. But really, God is just spirit. And I don't really think, just like it says in the introduction of the whole book, is that it's almost beyond our comprehension, and it's beyond the scope of this course to really get clear about who God is or what God is. But we do know that God is spirit because God creates like itself, and it says that we're eternal spirit. So there's love, and then love is extending like itself, and then that's us. We're the extension. And this extension had a tiny mad idea, it says. Those are the words. Remember, words are symbols of symbols. A tiny mad idea. What would it be like to be separate from love? Well, the answer is, you can't be separate from love because love encompasses everything. We're an idea in the mind of God. We're an idea in the mind of love. But the power of our thoughts are very powerful. And that the power of this, what would it be like to be separate from God, created what some may say you can look at the Big Bang as maybe it was that. It doesn't have to be that, but that's what some people point to. But the power of that thought, what would it be like to be separate from God? Bang! This is what it would look like to be separate from God. There's the physical. There's the world of duality. And everything that entails, and that's not real, because it's just the illusion of separation. Why is it an illusion of separation? Because we can't really separate. So when we say this world is not the will of God, and so it is not real, that can be a tough one. You mean the little baby that I just had isn't real? You mean the home that I've saved for, or the car that I've saved for and now I have it, it's not real? You mean the beautiful sunset that I just took a walk and walked, that's not real? And what he's saying is all of that is the dream, the detour into fear, because we point out the lovely parts, the little baby, the house, or the sunset. And really, what the dream of separation is all the duality, you know, all the good and what the perceived good and bad. Now, the love that we have for the baby is real. It's all of the dualistic ideas that we see in our mind, because the ego is just really an idea of who we think we are. I mean, there's a lot of big concepts in this lesson. But the love that we have for one another, the love that we have for the baby, the love that we know is just deep inside of us, that's real. And that points to who we truly are. That's where, you know, this is a remembering process, because when we're having this dream that we're separate and we're having this dream that we're seeing all this duality, we don't want to forget. And what the remembering process is we're remembering that we really are love. And how can we remember? Is because we do feel the real love.
Mm-hmm.
From time to time, not always.
Right, not always. It is a from time to time, I think. For me, in my mind, it's sometimes easier when I'm reading ACIM to exchange real for true or truth, because I get kind of like, okay, real, not real. It sure feels real. But then if I go in my mind, okay, if I'm talking about true or in false or true, not true, or even eternal and temporary, that helps me. Because if I say, like, in this sentence, this world, which is temporary, is not the will of God. That helps me really understand, okay, I'm looking for what lasts, not just temporarily, even if it lasts a long time, even if it lasts a lifetime. If it ends, it's not really from God. The ego may be giving me a little bit of like a taste of something good to keep me hanging on. And then I say, oh yeah, that feels pretty good. That sunset's so beautiful, but the sunset goes away.
Well, and that really speaks to really something that we can all hold on to that does, I guess maybe I'm going to use the word prove who we truly are. Because even when our bodies die, the love that we have for one another doesn't die.
Right.
And we know that, you know, so we can have folks that have passed in our life and that love can still be just as real today as when they were, you know, sitting across the dinner table with us. And so that's the part that's real.
Right. And that's why we, you know, cry when our loved ones die or if they've passed on and then we still think about them. And maybe we grieve. We grieve because we love them.
Yes.
And that love, that's what's true. That's what remains. That's what stays with us and continues on. And that gives us that image or that picture of when we're talking about real or not real, the real is that thing that lasts, that feeling that we get even if we think, like, for you and me, mm-hmm. mom and daughter,
mm-hmm.
and the love I have for you, it's like that's what's true, because that continues. Even, God forbid, something happened to you. I mean, something eventually will. But that love will always be with me.
Well, it's just like...
And your voice will always be in my head.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But it's just like I think I told it yesterday or the day before about, you know, how that one circumstance when I knew that I had to give you to God. You know, and there was like a peace that came over me when I did that. I do want to say something. So this might be a little sensitive and we're almost out of time. So I'll make it quick. Okay. So we knew a gal, met a gal years ago, and she had lost one of her children. And she was told by a professional that, you know, she didn't really need to grieve, that was just kind of like, you know, not part of the process, and her grief was kind of keeping her stuck. And it was a new death. I mean, it wasn't like it was like 10 years down long ago. And I just want to say that, you know, we are in a body and we are going to grieve and we're all going to be sad when we lose someone that we love. And that doesn't mean that we don't remember who we truly are. This is just a human experience. This is where we are right now. So if we find ourselves in grief And someone says, you know, well, you know, that isn't, you're making death real then. You know, that isn't helpful. We do, because we're also told in page 400 of the CE edition is don't minimize, hide, or deny your pain. And the grief, what I know about grief from being a coach is that grief will come and go, come and go, come and go. And when it comes, we feel it. We turn it over to the Holy Spirit. We ask for guidance and we don't shame ourselves. We don't say it's bad. We don't say, oh my gosh, it's been 10 years. Shouldn't I be over this by now? No, it could be 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Doesn't matter. If the grief comes, we allow it to come, we feel it, and we invite God in.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just so important because we are having this experience, right? In chapter 2 of Course in Miracles that we're studying in our text group, you know, in time and space, the separation did occur,
yeah.
Right? And so it's not really real, but it sure, like you said, sure feels real. And while we're here, we need to give ourselves grace, give one another grace, and approach all of these life experiences with compassion.
Right. And that honesty about here's where I'm at, that it feels real, that gives me permission to turn it over to love.
Exactly right.
And invite love into the situation. Not that I'm gonna would even stop crying about whatever situation or would stop having the feelings that I have, but by inviting love into it, then I'm not alone in that feeling.
Mm-hmm. So that's our lesson for today, lesson 166. I am entrusted with the gifts of God. Happy practicing, and we will see you tomorrow.
See you then.